Welcome, everybody. Welcome back. If you're just rejoining us, my name is Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. I wanted to share with you two things that are happening in the marketplace. And I want to make sure that I explain these things not as an economist, but as just a regular person, because they are deeply concerning. The largest single owner of U.S. debt in the world is the nation of China. So while Donald Trump may have blinked today and said, okay, we'll put the reciprocal tariffs on pause, the trade war with China is, if anything, accelerating. I am extremely concerned about this because typically, as an economy contracts or growth is slowing or we look like we're heading into a recession or there's extraordinary volatility, what you'll see is that people want to buy U.S. debt. Why? Because it's as good as gold. You can rely on it. It is a safe investment. But what we've seen over the last couple of days is Treasury prices, U.S. bonds, did a small uptick, but they have started to go down and yields are now over 5%. What does this mean? It means that the market is perceiving weakness in U.S. treasuries. And I don't mean weakness. I mean, the market's saying, I don't know if we can rely on U.S. treasuries. That's thing one. Thing two is that China could place us into an even worse situation if China starts offloading and selling, flooding the market with U.S. bonds. Of course, if an enormous supply of U.S. bonds is released into the marketplace, the overall price of those things, of U.S. treasuries and debt, will go down. This is not good. In addition, what has gone on in the last couple of days with respect to the price of crude oil per barrel, volatility doesn't even really describe it. Now, we can say what we want about wanting cheap gas, and we can say what we want about needing to move away from fossil fuels and into greater renewable energies. All of that is true. But it is also true that huge swaths of our economy are in many ways dependent on at least a somewhat stable crude oil per barrel price. And we have seen anything but that. In just days, crude oil has gone from over $72 a barrel down to nearly $55, up to $60. Taking the price of crude oil and what is going on in the U.S. bond markets together, what does this show? It shows that the U.S. is no longer the world's leading economy. It's showing that we have less power, not more, and that worldwide investors, including big institutions and individuals, are no longer going to be looking to the United States. This, all else being equal or even not, is never going to be better for middle-class workers. The less power we have in the global economy, the more vulnerable the United States is. So for all of Donald Trump's bluster and BS, all of this is making America more isolated, less trustworthy, and less powerful in the world economy. And guess who pays the highest price, both literally and figuratively, when the U.S.'s influence in the world economy goes down, when investors trust us less? Billionaires may make fewer billions, but it is the middle class and working people that will feel the greatest amount of pain. And as if that wasn't enough, Donald Trump on Monday night had the audacity to advocate for pharmaceutical tariffs. Cal, can you please play cut 15?
But we're going to tariff our pharmaceuticals. And once we do that, they're going to come rushing back into our country because we're the big market. The advantage we have over everybody is that we're the big market. So we're going to be announcing very shortly a major tariff on pharmaceuticals. And when you and when they hear that, they will leave China. They will leave other places because they have to sell. Most of their product is sold here. But we're going to tariff.
No. Two-thirds of U.S. pharmaceuticals, excuse me, two-thirds of name-brand drugs and 80% of generic drugs are manufactured, that we consume, are manufactured outside the U.S. So if you are a person living on a fixed income, if you are a senior citizen living off of Medicare and Medicaid, if you require expensive medication for your kids, are you okay with medication getting more expensive and not less? I forgot the portion of Donald Trump's campaign platform that said, don't worry, I'll make sure your prescription drugs cost even more. Yeah, because he didn't. And oh, by the way, lest you forget, Donald Trump on Inauguration Day signed an executive order that ended the Biden administration's effort to further lower the cost of prescription drugs for people on Medicare and Medicaid. One of those canceled policies included Medicare, a directive to Medicare to investigate ways to slash drug costs, including the feasibility of a $2 monthly out-of-pocket cap on some generic medications. Yeah, Donald Trump, bonk! That's gone. Also, he nixed a policy that gave uninsured adults in 36 states an extra 12 weeks to sign up for insurance coverage. So yeah, your medication is going to get much more expensive. Bob from Wisconsin's East Coast. I hope I can hear you. Can you hear me, Bob? Go ahead.
Hello.
Go ahead, Bob.
Hi, Maggie. Yesterday you talked about the cutting of the budget for distributing food to the poor around the world. If we wanted to donate and cover that problem partially, how do we do that?
Yeah, Bob, that's a great question. Let me get some resources together of specific organizations. I know, for example, the Hunger Task Force here locally is incredibly, incredibly effective. We actually have a guest slated next week. We'll talk more about that then. But on a global basis, Oxfam International, Bob, is an incredible organization. They not only are essential to getting food to folks that need it globally, but they also have incredible research into food insecurity worldwide. Thank you so much for such an important question. Jean from Eau Claire, you're up next. What do you have to say, Jean?
A psychotic type individual that's out of control. He sings songs, he changes his mind, he's delusional. Oh, they're going to come to us. Oh, everybody's begging to make a deal. Oh, yeah, now where are they? And where did you see these faces? And where did you hear these voices? I mean, I don't get it. But gol darn it, those Republicans in office there in the Senate and the House need to get their stuff together. And I hope everybody contacts them because we can't keep going on like this. It's chaotic. It doesn't make sense. And it's significantly hurting our country. So I just wanted to give my 2 cents worth. Thank you for letting me have a voice here. And keep up the great work, Maggie. Bye.
Thanks, Jean. 855-752-4842 855-75-CIVIC. Conservative Bob on the text line saying, what, Maggie, you don't see a problem with all of our medications being made outside of the country? He's trying to get those companies back. Conservative Bob, we can have a very important discussion about whether and how expensive it would be to have more pharmaceuticals manufactured in this country. But pharmaceuticals, like healthcare, are a necessity for people to stay alive. And using, frankly, garbage theories like tariffs are going to magically bring pharmaceutical companies back, which is a dubious proposition at best, disputed by most economists of any worth. Is Donald Trump completely okay with people dying in the interim because they can't afford their medication? If I take your premise, Conservative Bob, and I say we should use some kind of tariffs to get pharmaceutical companies to come back, the next thing out of Donald Trump's mouth should be, and here's what I'm doing to control pharmaceutical price costs while I endeavor to bring pharmaceutical manufacturing back to the United States. But he doesn't say that. In fact, I mentioned his executive order because he's doing exactly the opposite. Pharmaceutical companies, huge donors. Those are his billionaire bros. He's not interested in bringing pharmaceutical companies back. He's interested in his own power and his own wealth. So he's completely fine with people dying in this country if they can't get the drugs that they need. Floating such a proposal in offhanded comments at a Republican fundraising dinner, Conservative Bob, is not only immoral. Yes, I said immoral. It is disgusting and should shock the conscience. I will leave reasoned discussions with people of good faith about what to do to make pharmaceutical prices more affordable for Americans to another day, because that is not what Donald Trump's proposed tariffs on pharmaceuticals is. It is neither in good faith, nor is it in the best interest of Americans. And I'm angered that he would float something like that out there so unthinkingly. And oh, by the way, Conservative Bob, I really thank you for your engagement. Those are important questions, and I hope you don't mind taking them up in this way and addressing them. I wanted to mention to each and every one of you, we're going to take some more calls here in a moment, 855-752-4842. In case you thought there was some method to the Trump madness, that someone was actually, you know, whipping out a calculator and trying to figure out what a reasonable tariff rate was, that's all a pack of lies and garbage as well. One of the economists who has been cited by Donald Trump as the economist on who the Trump administration's tariff calculations were based, his work, is a guy by the name of Brent Neiman. And he was cited. One of his papers with other economists was cited by the Trump administration. He used the work of these economists to calculate the tariffs. Well, he published a piece in the New York Times that said, no, they didn't pay any homage or even roughly follow the work of me and my fellow economists. And what they did makes no sense at all and is a complete and total utter joke. So, yeah. There is no rhyme or reason here. None of it makes any sense. Tim from Eau Claire, you're up.
Yeah. What I'd like to see, and you're going to probably say you're crazy, now that he said he's pulled these tariffs off, I'd like to see the rest of the world say, well, guess what? We're keeping ours on. We're tired of playing this game with you. Live with it.
Yeah, Tim, that is an approach. Here's what I don't quite get. Is where Donald Trump actually thinks the leverage is coming from. Chaos theory doesn't create long-term or even medium-term negotiating leverage, right? People, I've asked this question of some of the foreign policy experts I've had on, as well as economic experts. It's like, how do you negotiate with a crazy person? Answer, you don't. How do you negotiate with someone who just stirs up chaos and seems to change policy at the drop of a hat? You don't, because you cannot rely on a damn thing that they're saying. So Tim from Eau Claire, I actually think that some of our trading partners may be less inclined to pull back tariffs because of Donald Trump's chaos, inconsistency, and craziness. You're not completely off base, my friend. Kurt from Madison, we're going to have to hold you until we take care of these brief messages. And folks, it is Wednesday, and I like to always share a bit of good news and a little bit I like to call over the hump in Trump. I do have some of that positive good news for you. It doesn't quite get us away from politics, but again, I think is a silver lining on the cloud that has been this week in American economics. Kurt, you're on the line. Folks, you can join us as well. 855-752-4842. 855-75-CIVIC. New callers, conservatives, women, you go to the front of the line. Keep it locked here on the Civic Media Radio Network.